welcome to the Jet Stream. My name is Jesse Denver, and along with me, as always, is my co-host, Connor Sheeran. Connor, let's just get right into the news of the day.
Big news.
We're recording Tuesday, November 14th. Enunciate, Jesse. Michael Carter was released. He was cut. This is running back Michael Carter, not cornerback Michael Carter, who, you know, is one of the best slot corners in football. If they cut him, that'd be real bad.
That'd be something's definitely up then.
Yeah. But yeah, Michael Carter, 8 Mike. That's what his name was, right?
I believe so, yeah.
On Twitter. Well, he deleted all the socials and he was cut by the Jets today. Rapid reaction, Connor.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. I mean, I'm disappointed. Michael Carter, great locker room guy. Seemed like he was pretty universally well-liked by the guys. I hope this is a situation where it doesn't spill over, boil over, and become like a whole thing in the locker room that they had to cut him. I hope there was a legitimate reason behind it and not just, hey, we want to try Izzy out and that made you angry, so we're going to release you. Pissing off a player that seems to be very well liked by his teammates never ends well in a locker room. Him deleting his social media definitely doesn't make it seem like this was a run-of-the-mill kind of release. He's definitely angry about, I mean, I would be angry too if I just lost my job, but he's something else. Players just don't get released if they're playing, if they have significant playing time, or Michael Carter wasn't a starter, but if they're a starter or something like that, they don't get released in the middle of the season, I feel like, unless there's a legitimate reason behind it. So
I mean, Salah said, man,
they're making changes.
Coming.
And this was not a change I expected.
I didn't expect this either, but he has been bad this year.
He has, and he wasn't very good last year either.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I understand. I understand it. Yeah. I mean, we have a rookie that people have been dying to see. It wasn't the first cut I would have made.
Me neither.
You know, I would have cut Uzama first.
Yeah. I would have cut Uzama so quickly before Michael Carter.
Yeah. I mean, he was awful. He's on just Sunday night. And we'll get into that for sure. Yeah, I just wasn't expecting this. I expected them to, you know, bench him. I didn't think that cutting was surprising. But I, you know what? I mean, they got to create space in the roster, and Cook did look like the best he had all season. When he got into the game on Sunday night, he had some juice that we hadn't seen. Yeah, so that was good to see. But yeah, man, I thought we should start with this. This was just a bit surprising.
You can tell it was definitely surprising, you know, to not that the beat writers are always the most on top of things, but they were all pretty surprised too, because the news came from Schefter. And we all know at this point, Schefter and Rapoport are basically just PR guys for teams in many cases. So it definitely felt like this is just one of those situations. So I don't really know what to make of it. I'll miss him as a locker room guy. I'll miss him as a personality. He seemed like he was a really great guy. And like I was saying before, it seemed like the guys in the team really liked him. My biggest thing now is I hope this just doesn't boil over into the locker room. And yeah, this guy's off, you know.
I'm sure it was addressed by the coaching staff today. I'd assume so.
That
would
be addressed
by the coaching staff today. I hope that he makes another roster. I hope that he stays in the league. I don't root for anybody's downfall.
Yeah.
Unless their name rhymes with Bomb Schmady.
or they play for the Patriots or the Dolphins or the Bills.
Yeah, but that sucked to see for sure. Bad news after a bad loss.
Yeah.
Just to be expected. Salah said that things were going to get shaken up. They're even going to shake things up. this week, and this is the first of hopefully a few changes. Let's talk about the game. And what would prompt these changes? The Jets lost. They lost 16-12. I expected the Chargers loss. Or at least I was better prepared for it. This one stung, because this one was just, they were in the game the whole time. They had the lead for a lot of the game. And they just blew it, man. Initial thoughts on this one, Con?
Yeah, I agree. It definitely stung and annoyed me more than the Chargers loss. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, they were in it the whole time. They were leading it for a good amount. And it's not okay, but not getting into the end zone for one game isn't like, it happens. It happens to every team sometimes. Maybe it's you're just having an off week. Maybe the other team's defense is just lighting it up. But to have it go two games in a row, and I mean, for that matter, almost three games in a row, because the Jets' last touchdown was Breece Hall in the Giants game. So to say,
and even that one, dude, that one was a check down.
It was a check down, and Breece made a great play. So it's not like they just had a really great drive and finished it off with a touchdown.
Yeah. When was the last real touchdown that the Jets scored? Cause like that, the Breece one was just a long check down. It was the Eagles game, right? Yeah, Breece had that 8-yard run.
Yeah,
like, then the Eagles let him.
They it was like a gimme.
So then it would be
the Broncos? The
Broncos game.
Yeah.
Breece's 72-yard rushing touchdown in the Broncos game was the last legitimate touchdown that the offense has scored. And even then, that wasn't like a sustained drive. So you have to go
to the Chiefs game.
The Chiefs game. That 1-yard passing touchdown. Right? That's probably
that or the touchdown pass to Lazard in that Chiefs game.
Yeah, let's see. So they had a 7-play 41-yard drive. And they have okay. 7-play 75 yards they went.
Right.
At the end of at the beginning of the third quarter, coming out of halftime.
Best drive they've had of maybe the Saleh era.
Probably, yeah. And that was week 4. We're about to get to week 11.
It's pathetic. They have 8 touchdowns on the season. Haven't scored a touchdown in almost 3 games. It's an indictment on a lot of people. Zach Wilson, Hackett, guys not catching the ball. It's an indictment on a lot of people. And you can blame it on the players. You can blame it on the injuries on the offensive line. You can blame it on scheming. You can blame it on everyone, because everyone's got a hand in why this offense is so bad.
Mm-hmm. At this point, I think that I didn't think Zach played that poorly.
He didn't.
On Sunday night. I mean, granted, he didn't play poorly, you have to take it with a gigantic grain of salt, because we're talking about he didn't play poorly for him.
Right.
The Jets did move the ball with him, with Zach Wilson under center, and they have been for 2 weeks now. But the issue is that every single drive, every time that they have a positive play that goes over 5 yards, it gets called back for holding or illegal formation or false start. Like the biggest indictment on this team right now is the penalties.
Yeah.
It shows a number of things. Coaching is a huge issue right now. I don't even think it's the play calling necessarily as much as the discipline.
Yeah.
There's no, I can't say there's no accountability. I'm not in the building. I hope the coaches are holding these players accountable, but it's not showing on the field. And it's getting frustrating for sure as a fan. This team was 4-3, now they're 5-4. They had an opportunity against two not very good teams to kind of take this division by the throat. They would have been in prime position heading to Buffalo, who's 5-5 now. They'd be ahead of Buffalo in the standings if they won one of the last two games, and they'd be a game behind the Dolphins, and then they'd be playing for first place. And the Dolphins are, you know, Dolphins play this week. I think they play the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have, you know, they have the Raiders at home.
They're going to kill the Raiders. And yeah. So I saw a Jets fan be like, well, you know, the Dolphins lose to the Raiders and the Jets win this week, and we'll be a game. We'll play, be playing the Dolphins for first place in the AFC.
I saw that too. Listen, crazier things have happened. I'm not like, but yeah, I realize that's about as likely. Maybe the only thing you can say,
it's not going to happen.
Maybe the Antonio Pierce streak is white hot, and maybe the Dolphins come out of the bye week slow, and maybe they're not ready for the Raiders, but it ain't going to happen, folks. This is going to be another game that the Raiders, it's going to be another win for the Dolphins against a team that's, kind of not quite above 500, because they're not. The Raiders are at 500.
Mm-hmm.
So that streak of still not beating a team above 500 will continue, I'm sure, for the Dolphins. But yeah, I mean, it's,
well, it looks like they're going to beat us now because we're below 500.
It's true.
it sucks, dude. I mean, Aiden O'Connell was 16 of 27 for 153 yards. His average pass attempt was 5.7 yards.
Yeah.
We picked them off. We sacked them three times. We held Josh Jacobs under 5 yards of carry. He had 27 rushes for 116 yards. And most of that, like, it was even worse. Like, before that 40-yard rush, it was even worse than that. It was his average yards per carry. And Devontae was 6 catches for 86 yards. He had a 42-yard catch, 13 targets. Like, the Jets did the defense did its job again. They held a bunch of, like, two very, very talented offensive players to, you know, not so great numbers. I mean, Josh Jacobs finally got over 100 yards for the first time all season.
Right.
But on 27 carries, like, the Jets defense did its job there. And then, like I said, Devontae, 6 catches for 86 yards. Everybody else, like, did nothing. None of those catches were, like, the long catch that Devontae had was like in his zone play. So like the corners didn't get beat. It was CJ Mosley and somebody else that were in. It's the same story, man. It's the same exact story as last week. Yeah. Like, I wish I had like some sort of like solution or analysis that could really like enlighten things for Jets fans, but it's really that simple right now. Penalties are holding this offense back. I think play calling a little bit, but not so much. I mean, sometimes they'll do a run pass, right? But
it's the red zone play calling is where it gets a problem. And yeah. Rodgers was on McAfee earlier, and I'm sure you saw some of the clips and how the play calling on certain specific plays changes when you get to the red zone. And the Wilson interception, he could tell, like, watching the replay, that Lazard went out and still did like a 5-step come back in when you're in the red zone. He said that play is supposed to change to, or I guess when you're in the red zone or you're close enough, that changes to like a 3-step and then you come back. So Lazard kept going. So right. It was kind of like
once
a mistake
again, Lazard
on
like doing
fucked it up.
Yeah.
And then that just opened the door for, you know, the interception to happen. So not an entirely, you know, it's a lot of that was on Lazard, but Wilson, you know, also shouldn't have made the throw. We know that. And it's a lot of people. I forget who said it. It might've been Bart Scott said that Wilson's at the point right now and really should have been playing like this probably his entire, you know, career so far, that he really should only be playing half the field. He's learning from Rodgers, who can do that, but he really should not even be trying to look at routes on the other side of the field, wherever, like, opposite the first speed is.
I don't even think that that's like that huge of a deal. Like Collinsworth was saying similar stuff during the game.
Yeah, it might have been Collinsworth saying it.
Collinsworth was saying, like, I don't know why he's looking at the other side of the field. Like, he should just be focused on. I mean, you can't really trust anybody but Garrett Wilson right now. Garrett Wilson, like, shout out to him. He's running every route in the tree. He is going, he's running, he's in the X, Y, and Z. Like, he's doing everything right now. It's impressive, and shout out to him. Like, he's going over the middle of the field, taking hits, holding on to the ball. He did have a bad drop, and he could have caught that Hail Mary. And he had two, he had that deep ball that he should have had, and he had a drop over the middle.
Yeah.
But I can't nitpick our best player. Like, he's the one keeping us in the game.
He's still, even with the you know, shitty quarterback play, he's still going to, you know, barring an injury, he's still going to hit 1,000 yards this season easily. He will. He's at 642. They still have, what, 8 games to play?
Yeah, I'll get there. I'm not
worried. So his average per game is, look, I'm looking right now, it's at 12 yards per
catch.
He'll hit that easily. Even with subpar shitty kind of quarterback play. Yeah, he really is. Him and Breece really are the only, Tyler Conklin. Tyler Conklin is
Conklin,
like,
yeah, he had a nice catch at the end of the game.
He's a really good tight end to have. And
yeah,
speaking of tight ends,
let's get to it. 87 needs to be benched.
It has
to happen.
Bench him.
He'll have plenty more time to go watch Broadway.
You watch more anime than me. Shadow realm him. I don't know. Fucking send him somewhere where he's just not on the field. You really need him to be on the field. Put him on special teams. I don't know. But
anybody
like,
else, just
him and Rucker.
I don't know. Like, get like Vasante Shanko off the street or something. Or like, I just pulled the most random name I could out of my ass. Like anybody, literally anybody. Ask Tony Gonzalez to come out of retirement.
Yeah.
Like,
I just, Gronk, I can't.
Or some, I don't know what to do at this point.
I mean, he gets, he's good for at least 1 to 2 holding calls. He's good for a drop. Like, sure, maybe he's a fun locker room guy, but that only goes so far too. Not just from an outsider perspective. Other like players, it's not like they're just gonna ignore shitty on the field play.
He's had 3 big plays this year. It was the drop in the end zone last week against the Chargers,
right?
And he had 2 holding penalties that killed drives, and one of them killed a touchdown this week. That's not what you want to be known for in a season. A drop and penalties, and even last week was hardly, it was garbage time. It didn't even matter at that point. But he needs to go, man. He needs to be done. He can't play the position at a high enough level. Clearly, and I hate calling for someone's job, but I'm calling for his job. he needs to be benched, and it's a shame because like he's. He is a solid, like, route running, like, tight end, like, guy who can, like, get open, make somebody miss. Like, he did it last night. Like, he caught one near the left side, on the left side. Almost, like, I thought he was going out of bounds, made a guy miss, and got, like, 6-7 yards instead. He doesn't do that nearly enough, though. And he's being wasted in an offense that needs to be run heavy. This is not the offense that he signed up for. This is a guy who played with Joe Burrow and thrived in the Bengals, you know, offense where, you know, you have guys running open everywhere.
Right.
You can't have a guy like that in a run heavy scheme. He just can't block well enough. And you have it's an easy solution. Just give Jeremy Rucker all of his blocking snaps. You know, just give him all the snaps. Just bench him.
Yeah. Starting tight ends, it's an easy fix for now. Conklin and Ruckert. And this isn't even saying that, like, Ruckert's a slam dunk guarantee. Like, why the hell isn't he playing? But it's hard to be worse than Uzama is playing right now. Like, they got rid of one of their bigger problems on offense, Michael Carter, which really sucks. Like, it really sucks. Like, I'm having to say goodbye to that guy. You know, granted, the play on the field was and has been subpar, But, you know, he's one of those guys that you wish you kind of keep around, and maybe he eventually kind of
figures it out,
develops to be like a solid guy that, you know, you just have around. I saw some people saying, it's like, I thought he was going to be like another Bilal Powell type guy who's like, he's never like stellar, but he's like your guy. He's like a Jets.
Right.
So, you know, you're hoping for something like that, but that never happened. And, you know, Uzama, he's more of a detriment. He's more of a liability on the field half the time than he ever is like a benefit for something. And for someone who kind of relies a lot on his tight ends, he hurts Wilson in a lot of ways. You know, Wilson relies, if it's not Garrett getting the ball, half the time Zach's trying to throw it to the tight end, it feels like. So it should be Ruckert. He's the younger guy. He's the one that should be getting these.
He's bigger. He's a better blocker. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And like, how many times did Zach get sacked?
Twice.
Yeah. They helped. They kept him up pretty upright. Against a solid passer like Max
Crosby. Yeah, Max Crosby.
Max Crosby.
One of the best pass rushers in the game. I mean, he didn't get
two quarterback hits.
Yeah.
Three tackles total, but no sacks.
Right.
You know, Becton played well again. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, I wasn't like watching every pass blocking and run blocking down, but I didn't have major issues with Zach's protection. It's this simple. Stop committing penalties. It's a humongous indictment on Robert Saleh. It just is. Like, I think that Robert Saleh is a swell guy. Family man. He's the type of person that you want representing your organization. The discipline issues on this team are unacceptable. Unacceptable. This is college bullshit. This isn't stuff you see in the NFL. All right. Not even college. This is high school. This is high school BS right now. This is ridiculous. I've seen and in high school, they run the ball 40 times a game.
Right.
I've seen high school offenses run more efficiently than the Jets offenses right now. I've covered a lot of different high schools. I've seen a lot of shit. I've seen a lot of bad football, my friend, and and right now the Jets offense is about as bad as I've ever seen on any level, which is just insane. And I don't even think the play calling is that huge of an issue. I mean, the red zone play calling could be better, but I think a lot of that has to a lot of the red zone play calling has to do with who's in at quarterback, how much trust they have in him. I'd be interested to see the amount of times that Zach's thrown the ball in the red zone compared to run, like hand the ball off.
Yeah.
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I'd venture to guess that it's pretty close to even, if not leaning favorably towards the run.
Yeah. I think it's definitely heavier on the run.
Right. So,
I mean, they should see that also if you're trying to rely on the run more, you know, maybe mix in a run for Zach. He was the leading rusher for the Jets on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. You know, he came very close to getting that touchdown, and then they should have obviously had the touchdown on the next play, but he was right there.
Yeah.
His mobility is, we've talked about it a lot, his mobility is athleticism is his best asset. And he has the ability to maneuver outside. My biggest thing is, why aren't they getting him mobile more often? You know, roll him out, call an RPO, do something to mix things up. It's a running quarterbacks league these days and has been for quite some time. All the success, all the like very successful quarterbacks this season are mobile. The eras of the straight up pocket passer, of the Peyton Mannings, of the Tom Brady's, it's long.
All the top guys can escape the pocket and get out and make, do something with their
life. Jalen Hurts this season, CJ Stroud, all these guys are mobile. They can obviously still throw the ball and be a quarterback and stand up in the pocket if they need to, but they also, you know, they're not afraid to move around and get shit done. And look at that pass that Zach threw Sunday night.
The no look one.
Look, that Lazard almost dropped.
That Lazard almost dropped.
Oh yeah. My God. If he dropped that, I would have been like, I don't know. I mean, it would have been harder for me to be more annoyed and pissed at that guy after Sunday, like on Sunday night. But that was just one of Zach's like best throws ever. Like that was pure Rodgers. And it just like,
it was Mahomes. It was Mahomes, yeah, even, dude.
It was everything you want to see. It's one of those ones, just, you know, he'll throw a perfect ball like that once every like 10 times if you're lucky. And we've talked about it before. It's like he can make a throw like that. He can make, put a like the Hail Mary at the end of the game, that if Tyler Conklin,
yeah, like he did that little hip, he did that little his hitch to get Max Crosby off his back.
Yeah.
And then on the run throws it like on a dime. An
absolute dime. Like it couldn't have been more like right in Garrett Wilson's hands if he tried. Like it was just perfect. And
it's so crazy because like, dude, up here is just clearly he doesn't have it, and the rest of his body wants to be an elite quarterback so badly.
The rest of his body's arguing with him throughout the week, being like, dude, I have the tools. What are you doing here? Back and forth, like just like endless fist fight on the field every single week.
I think that's a good transition to what we should talk about next. And that's our next week's opponent. The quarterback that we're facing next week, because man, does he have the tools, but his brain does not want to do anything with them.
his brain has just been taking a dump all season.
So I'm convinced that once Brian Daboll left, he lost his powers, and he needs he needs Brian Daboll to get fired from the Giants and brought back. Like Sean McDermott is going to be like, dude, like we both know where this is going. Like Giant, you're going to get fired after next season. And cause you're not going to take a quarterback because you just paid Daniel Jones, which wouldn't that be something? They're like, yeah, let's just keep Daniel. And we believe in Daniel. Oh my God. I think Ethan's head would explode.
I think all Giants fans, they would march. They would march on the Giants facility.
Daniel Jones was at Deer Maud last week.
Was he?
Yeah,
hey,
over the weekend.
There he is. Yeah, I haven't seen him in quite some time, but I guess he'll be moving out of that apartment pretty soon.
Yeah, most likely. So the Jets have the Bills coming up next week, and Josh Allen has looked atrocious. And he's facing his kryptonite, which is the Jets defense. Because for some reason his brain melts even more than it has whenever he has to go against Quinnen Williams and co. It's in Buffalo right now. ESPN's, they're giving them an 80% chance to win this game. Josh Allen has nearly double the amount of interceptions as Zach Wilson, but he has nearly quadruple the amount of touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Cook looked really good. It'll be the Cook Bowl once again. Diggs is very unhappy. If you're living under a rock and haven't seen Trayvon, his brother has been tweeting up a storm, and he was like, I think his latest one this morning was people forget he's like Brody made him when he got there, or something like that.
I'll look this up again.
Pull that tweet up. Diggs is having another all-season.
He said last night, man, 14 got to get up out of there. And
then this morning he said,
let's not forget, he didn't go off till bro got there.
Yeah.
And so not really true. I mean, like Josh Allen still had like,
I don't know, man. I think it might be.
I think he definitely got better thanks to Stephon Diggs, but he still was like 2020 rolled around. He still had a good season.
Was like a weird COVID year when no one was sure what the heck was going on there. Like,
yeah.
So Josh Allen, let's see. Stats. He didn't have his first truly elite season. So his first two seasons, he was terrible.
I don't know.
You know what?
Then 2020.
He had a pretty elite season. That was a weird season, though.
4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 10 picks. Like,
yeah. I mean, that was pretty elite.
As far as as far as quarterback rating goes, that was his best season.
Yeah, so I don't know. Last year he went 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Last year 35, 14. So he's gonna turn the ball over a lot. It wouldn't surprise me if when we're all said and done, he has the interception record. Maybe he's our next Brett Favre.
Could be.
You know, I mean, that's very, very possible. He's on pace right now to, you know, have around 5,000 yards passing. He'll get close. But he also is, I mean, he's running the ball a lot less this year, it looks like.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, last year he had 124 carries for 762 yards. This year he has 48 carries for 246 yards. He's fumbling at the same rate pretty much as last year. He had 8 fumbles last year and he lost 2, but he's 4 fumbles. He's lost 3 so far. He could get a bunch of rushing yards against the Jets. That's something that the Jets like to give up, quarterback rushing yards, just rushing yards in general. But he's definitely doesn't scare me, and the Bills don't really scare me. I'm not anticipating the Jets getting blown out by anybody. I think every game moving forward is going to be low scoring unless like Zach plays the game of his life. I think they'll hang around in like pretty much every game moving forward and they'll lose the majority of them because they just can't do enough offensively. Like that Texans game, I was like chalking up as a win.
Not anymore.
CJ Stroud is good, real nice.
CJ Stroud is the real deal.
Listen, the Jets still have a chance to make the playoffs, but they need to be way better in multiple facets. Jesus, I can't even say these words right. Multiple facets of the game. And most of it's on the coaching staff right now. They need to be better disciplined. They need to stop taking stupid penalties. The Bills are injured, man, but that's no excuse. Like the Jets defense is good enough where like the Jets conceivably can win any game the rest of the season on the schedule. It's going to be a matter of what is the offense going to give you. Right now, we have no reason to believe that the offense is going to give you anything. So I'm expecting a loss this weekend. But you know, like it's Buffalo's favored by 7. This team is pissed off. Both teams are pissed off. Honestly, both teams feel like they should be contenders. And they're just not even close. Both teams are dealing with catastrophic injuries to some of the best players on the team. We lost Rodgers and Elijah Vera Tucker, and they've lost Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano. And I think that this is going to be like another 16-10 game. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like shitty weather up in Buffalo.
Yeah, what's the weather gonna be like?
It says 50 degrees and rain.
Oh, sick.
Like,
perfect day for, you know, Zach Wilson to try to hold on to the football.
Yeah, like they're going to need to rely on Breece, who, you know, has definitely slowed down of late, and a lot of that has to do with just the Jets, you know, abandoning the run game a whole lot. And yeah, man, I mean, this just sucks. This season was not supposed to go like this.
It was supposed to be like this. I mean, it's.
What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very hard game. No doubt about it. It's the Bills. Like, these games are always, or they have been for the past couple seasons, they've always been, you know, tough. And we split with them last year. There was the surprise win against the Bills at MetLife last season. And Jets came close to beating them in Buffalo last season with Mike White. We've talked about it before. They were very much in that game until Matt Milano came speeding through that offensive line and broke five of Mike White's ribs. Mm-hmm. They were very much in that game. Once Flacco had to come in, it was over. But there's no part of me that thinks Jets can't be in it, but it all boils down to whether or not the offense can get their shit together.
Yeah.
Can they get to the red zone without having to kick a field goal? Like, I have no doubts.
I have no faith.
Right. I have zero faith in the offense to be able to do that. I have no doubts that the defense can't stop Josh Allen. I absolutely think that they can do that. I think
I'm
Sauce
expecting
can,
it.
I can think. I know Sauce can lock up Stephon Diggs and DJ Reed for that matter. So it's, I have a whole lot of faith in the defense. It's just, it comes down to, is the offense going to get their shit together? Are they not going to make dumb penalties when they get down to the red zone and kill drives? Like, have a promising drive, and the second they get within the 20,
I mean, until they show otherwise, I'm expecting it.
Yeah, there's no, and it sucks that I'm also at the point with the offense where they get a great play, one that goes maybe 10, 15 yards or something like that, and I can't even get excited about it because I'm just expecting a flag to come out, because that's just how it's been for the past like 3 weeks.
Yep.
It was 8 penalties on Sunday. It was, and he was at least
another 8 to 10,
at least against the Chargers.
It's ridiculous.
It's like that against the Giants.
Staff, man.
It's ridiculous. And the thing is that half the time it's always the same guys too. Dama, it's Sard, it's, you know, like Becton sometimes. He gets called for full starts, and it's a pattern with certain guys a lot.
I gotta say, Connor, the coaching staff and front office have had a bad couple of weeks.
Yes, they have. No doubt about that.
Not trading for Josh Dobbs is just so bad from Joe Douglas. Sometimes you need to know when to give up.
Right.
You know, sometimes that's just, I think that's an important quality a person can have, when to give up, when to keep going. I think that, you know, time is a valuable resource. And it's incredibly valued in the NFL, very valuable in the NFL. You only get a certain amount of time in this league. The average career is like 3.5 seasons, right? That's for players. Coaches and GMs, it's probably just as short, maybe even shorter. You made a mistake with Zach Wilson. You gave him 2 years. He was horrendous. I understand being cool with him sitting the next couple of years. That's fine. Tim Boyle can't be the other guy. Can't be. It has to be somebody else. It has to be somebody that's better than Zach Wilson. You bench Zach Wilson for Miami's backup last year, and you're cool with him being the backup this year. Like, if, God forbid, something happens to Aaron Rodgers, which it did. That's what you're cool with that. So obviously hindsight's 2020, but I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to know that you should probably have a better backup quarterback than Zach Wilson. Granted, because as we see every single season, I mean, how many backup quarterbacks are playing in the NFL right now? 10, 12.
Probably. You know, Gardner Minshew. Carson Wentz is about to start in LA.
I'll swear to God, I'll go through it. So
Jameis.
Sorry. New England has played a backup quarterback this year. The Jets have played a backup quarterback. Pittsburgh has had a backup quarterback play this year. Cleveland's had a backup quarterback play this year. Let's see, who else? Indy, that's 6 teams. Tennessee, the 7. The Giants, 8. Las Vegas, 9. Let's see.
Arizona, did you say that?
I'm not there yet. Minnesota, 10. Chicago, 11. New Orleans, 12. Atlanta, 13. Carolina, 14. San Francisco, actually, no, they didn't. Purdy ended up playing. The Rams, 16. Arizona, 7. More than half the league. More than half of the league has had a backup quarterback come in and play this year at some point. And the Jets have the worst one of all of them. It's unacceptable. It can't be happening. So you have this knowledge, right? And the trade deadline comes around. And the Vikings aren't the only team that lost a quarterback to an Achilles tear.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, the decision was, yeah, let's get Trevor Siemian, and he's on the practice squad. You're telling me you can't get another quarterback? Josh Dobbs didn't know his teammates' names
and he came in and won the game, and then he came in this week and he went off.
They were practicing their cadences on the sideline in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
It is not impossible for Josh Dobbs to have come in, maybe not started that week, like the Vikings were forced to do, essentially, but have him on the sideline. You know, maybe you trade for him, and maybe you're not comfortable dressing him the first week. I get that. That's fine. But to not even, and pushing Dobbs aside for a second, why is Simeon the guy that you're keeping on the practice squad? At least Simeon has real game experience and has started and stuff like that. Why is Tim Boyle the guy that has to be the backup every week?
Simeon had a stretch a couple of years ago where he had 11 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in 4 games.
Right.
Which Zach Wilson has
never had.
5 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in 9 games. Like,
so I don't know.
Every single stat is just like, Zach Wilson is the worst quarterback to ever do it.
To legitimately ever do it.
That's not hyperbole. It's just every stat you look at, it's like
he's 34 right now, out of 32. There's only 32 teams.
The Jets right now are on pace to have the worst red zone and third down percentage in NFL history. NFL history.
Yeah.
All right. It is, and it is so far below the second to worst. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
so I do not get the logic of what was going on. And yeah, like you said, it's been a tough couple weeks for Saleh and Co. and Joe Douglas. For all the good that Joe Douglas has done, I definitely think he's the best GM the Jets have had in the past decade.
Another one of his draft picks cut today.
That's right. That's right. And
that, thriving with the Giants. Cut him, same draft class.
Yep. And
not like Tony. I mean, Tony Adams is pretty good, but
it's Joe Douglas is hit on plenty of draft picks. It's not just we know that.
I know. This is
a glaring mistake. Quarterback's the most important position in football and one of the most important positions in sports. So not having a proper backup, like you said, when you didn't trust Zach Wilson to start all of the games last season that he was available, why you suddenly thought he was like okay to play backup? Like you literally had Joe Flacco play the last game of the season last year, a meaningless game that would have been perfect for a guy like Zach Wilson to start because it didn't matter and you could let him do whatever the fuck you wanted, and you said to yourselves, nah, he's still not good enough, we're gonna play Joe Flacco for some reason.
Yeah, I don't
know. And that's the guy you said was fine.
And it was clearly to be the backup. And Flacco is clearly worse than Zach.
He was awful, and he was pissed off that he had to play. There's all those pictures that come out.
He was like, "God damn it!"
He was so angry. He was like, "I was supposed to come in here. I was just going to be fine. You know, I was just going to collect a paycheck. I'll be good." And then he ends up having to start. It made no sense for them to play Flacco in that last game.
I have enough faith in the Jets beat to ask Joe Douglas this at the end of the season. I don't know why they didn't ask him around the trade deadline. I guess I think they probably did, like, why Simeon, blah blah blah. But yeah, Joe Douglas has a lot. Like, we thought this year was make or break for Joe and Saleh. It's next year.
Yeah, next year.
They're going to get another shot because of what happened to Rodgers. It is the most important that a coach and GM have had, most important season that a coach and GM have had in New York in a long time, man. I can't think of like another. There's got to be. I mean, there's somebody will have the answer to this, and I'll probably pose it in the chat at some point. But yeah, I think that what the pressure that, like, can you think of like a season with more pressure on a coach and GM than what the Jets are going to have next week?
I mean, just football.
No, all New York sports.
Oh.
Like, I don't think any season with the Rangers of late there's been pressure like that. There's been pressure, but not like that. Not with the Giants, the Knicks. The Nets have had pressure.
Yeah.
Probably the most pressure since Harden, Durant, and Kyrie were there.
Yeah, when they were under the magnifying glass.
So it's been like four. It's been like four-ish years, 3-4 years, maybe even less than that. Maybe it's been 2 years.
Maybe 2016, but the Mets following up the World Series.
Yeah, the Mets following up the World Series. But even the Nets, like, they're so irrelevant that, like, does that really even count?
Those are bad. If you were to, not to get off topic of the Jets, but if you were to just say, if someone were to ask you, what if you were to say, like, New York City is a blank city out of Knicks all the town. Sports?
Knicks.
You'd say Knicks.
Yeah.
So would I. I would say Knicks and then probably Yankees.
Yeah, Knicks, Yankees, Giants, Rangers,
Big Jets. Brother, the Big Brother franchises.
Yeah, then Rangers, Jets, probably Jets, Rangers, just because hockey is so much less popular than football. Something like that.
Yeah, Mets, I'd say yeah, definitely like Knicks. Definitely
Knicks won.
If the Knicks win an NBA title.
The city would burn.
It would be like when
the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like it'd be like that. But for context.
In many ways might be worse because New York's a bigger city. All five boroughs.
Yeah, but they're such sickos in Philly. I saw them getting naked on lampposts and stuff. Like just like ridiculous
the guys,
things.
It's like the guys like eating shit off the street when the Eagles.
Yeah, I saw.
They're like too. Greasing up the poles, like climbing them. Like they are just such maniacs down there.
Yeah, they're fucking like, savages. But like the Bronx would burn down probably if the next one.
I think so.
Championship.
Yeah. And D's nice would be at the front of
it's just
he'd be walking down Tremont just like
making fun of New York. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe like it was the first game of the season and you're celebrating like that outside the garden. Yeah, man. Like this is what New York does. The fans just crawl out of every nook and cranny and the sewer monsters come out and start celebrating when RJ's hitting game winners in the first game of the season.
They were doing
anyway. Let's get back to the Jets. Even though I don't think there's much left to talk about. Winner this weekend or loser?
Probably loser. It's just like how you were saying, it just comes down to how the offense plays, but I think it being in Buffalo. Buffalo looking to, have a get right game. The offense probably knows too, that they don't have to score a lot.
My buddy texted me today and goes, Jets need to hire Ken Dorsey immediately.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking that too. I'm like, can you make like an, is it too drastic to like make an in season offensive coordinator hire and completely change the game plan?
Just as an offensive consultant, we know what Buffalo's like deal is.
Bring him in. I don't care. He'd be out for revenge.
Yeah. I'm expecting like another 16 to 12 type of game. If you're going to gamble on this game, take the under.
Yes. As with every Jet game this season, take the under.
Yeah, I think the Bills win this game. I'd like the Jets to win, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
And then the Dolphins, I'm expecting 4-7. Maybe you get to like 5-7 and you hope for like a, I don't know. It's bad. It's real bad right now. It's going to get worse. And it's just not, it sucks. This is supposed to be a fun football season and it hasn't been. So that's all I got, man.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Stupid sport.
It is a sport. You got to, as in the immortal words of Trill Withers, you got to be a fucking idiot to be a sports fan.
Seriously.
and that's the way
Goddamn.
The cookie crumbles.
That's the way the news goes. All right. Where can they find you on socials?
They can find me at Connor, Conor, _ Sheeran. Sheeran.
You're never getting that single underscore.
Never.
Ever.
You can find me at Jesse Finver, JesseFinver. Yeah, I mean, we're just going to be tweeting sad stuff about the Jets the rest of the season. So if you follow along with the misery. Thanks for listening, folks. Go Jets, obviously. Let's beat the Bills this weekend. But, you know, don't get your expectations too high. All right. At this point, let's just keep ourselves in the middle. And we won't be too let down if we lose.
Keep the bar low.
Keep the bar low. You know, if you know, if you don't have expectations, you can't get hurt.
Exactly.
Right. Thank you, Zendaya. All right, folks. All right, folks. That's it.